Tony, thank you for those very interesting remarks. Our next presenter is Mr. Jeff McCray. He is the Vice President for International Marketing at BAE Systems. He's just back from 3 weeks in the region, which included visits to Dubai and Cairo. And he's going to provide us an industry perspective on defense cooperation.
Good morning. Thank you very much. I'd like to open my remarks by thanking Dr. Anthony and Pat Mancino and the Council for the opportunity to be here with you today and talk about defense cooperation from an industry perspective. I have to say, in response to Dr. Quartersman's comments, and I will preface my own comments by saying I haven't cleared my comments with the rest of U.S. defense industry, so these are probably just my comments. We tend to look at defense cooperation activities in the Gulf from the perspective of a country-by-country basis. As a defense contractor, there isn't really a way or a forum to look at defense cooperation on a GCC-wide basis. Defense cooperation ranges or can range from the delivery of equipment and services on individual contracts through local assembly, local manufacture programs, to the establishment of long-term partnerships, which we have done in some countries in the region, and potentially to the establishment of joint ventures, which we've also done in various places in the Gulf. The whole of the defense cooperation arena, if you like, not only in the Gulf, anywhere that we operate around the world, from the United States standpoint, is governed by the U.S. laws and regulations, and defense exports are seen from the U.S. government's perspective correctly as an extension of U.S. foreign policy. As a result, and I know we could probably debate this subject for the rest of the day, but what's not? as a result of that, U.S. companies tend not to lead that debate. We participate in that debate, but we follow the U.S. government's lead. Everything we do in the area of defense exports is governed either by the International Traffic in Arms Regulations, the ITAR, which is managed by the Department of State, with major inputs, obviously, from the DOD and the individual services, or if the product is a commerce product, it's managed by the commerce regulations, the EAR regulations. The whole purpose of the U.S. Government's export licensing regime, and it is an extensive regime, is that it is in place to do two things. Firstly, protect U.S. warfighters wherever they are or wherever they operate. And secondly, to support the activities of our allies. It is a complicated process. To export licensing is a complicated process, and that is sometimes a difficult issue to discuss and deal with in terms of our Gulf partners and Gulf customers. But the penalties, if you get it wrong, can be draconian. They include fines, loss of the ability to contract with the U.S. government, potentially, if you get it seriously wrong, you can go to prison. As a result of these issues, it is sometimes, not always, but I think it is sometimes easier for larger companies to be actively involved in the export business, and in part that's because larger companies can afford the infrastructure of the management capability that you need to deal effectively with the export regime. However, I should also point out that defense cooperation and exports are not just a one-way street. They can be a two-way street. We haven't gotten to the point where we own major businesses in the Gulf area yet, but we do, as a company, own major businesses in the UK, Sweden, Germany, South Africa. And we have numerous examples, not of just exporting to those countries, but numerous examples of importing technology and products here, which have been used to support U.S. Defense. Because we have export licensing regimes in each of the countries where we operate and where we own businesses, anytime we export into the Middle East, we have to deal with not only our own export regimes, but the export regimes of the other other countries where we own businesses. Go back for a minute to the U.S. export licensing infrastructure. We have seen over the past 12 months a great improvement, and here I am comfortable that I speak not only for my own company but for U.S. industry as well. We have seen great improvements over the past 12 months in the areas of the responsiveness and the efficiency of requests for exports, requests for technical assistance agreements, and export licenses from the State Department in particular. And I think it's also fair to say that both of the next two prospective administrations have been in discussion with U.S. industry, defense industry advisory councils. Both have been briefed on issues that the U.S. defense industry sees with the export licensing regime, and both prospective administrations have said, you know, very encouraging things about the way they would like to improve that regime. As I have to say, have every other previous prospective administration that I'm aware of. To come back to the two-way street, there are certainly benefits to prospective customers of cooperation, defense cooperation. Those include obviously the spread of technical and operational skills and knowledge, and where we establish manufacturing or cooperative development businesses, the growth of employment prospects as well. Before we start any consideration of exports or defense cooperation activities, there are some basic questions that I think each U.S. defense contractor has to ask themselves, and we all do. Those include, is the prospect that we're looking at good for the U.S. warfighter? Is it good for the U.S.? Is it good for our coalition allies? And then, you know, laterally, does it make sense to us as a company? There are certain areas of technology that lend themselves to cooperation more easily than others. I would propose that certainly from our own experience, businesses in the land vehicles side of our business have found greater opportunities and greater ease in establishing either co-production or manufacturing or refurbishment facilities in the Middle East than have our businesses that are involved in, for instance, electronic warfare or platform self-protection. It's not to say that those kinds of businesses can't enter into cooperative agreements, but it tends to be more difficult. We have undertaken in the past, and we do have ongoing cooperative programs in Saudi Arabia, Egypt, Jordan, Turkey, and we like many other U.S. defense contractors, continue to look for opportunities that make sense to us and obviously make sense to the U.S. government. That's all the comments I have. I'm happy to take questions at the end. Thank you.